Yofi. Okay, so we were going through different aspects of the Nifla Sabriya. We saw last week, I think if I remember correctly, we saw the hand. We looked at animals, the way that they fed, and the way that each one has its own unique, because that a person has to use his own seichel, how you meet Bonen on that. And I think we're at the bottom of Kuf Ein Aleph. I don't know if we started this last week. Well, let's go from here. Also, too, when a person will contemplate the workings of the Galgala Harakia, the round, I'm just translating it loosely, the round objects in the sky, meaning that the planets and everything, they're all different. They've got different sizes, they go in different directions, they've got different speeds. And those lights that shine from the Shemaim, also they don't have the same size and the same amount of light. Hashem conducts his world completely according to those things, the days, the nights, the months, the years. I'll just make an observation here, which we've made before, and that is there's no natural reason for the weeks. We understand that the sun creates months, the sun creates, the moon creates months, the sun creates years. About where weeks come from, that's an absolute pillar. Who made weeks? That's everywhere in the world, they have a 7-day week. Where did they get that from? They got it from us, because Baruch Hu created a 7-day week. But you should have, some countries have an 8-day week. You shouldn't even have weeks. Well, who has, why do you have weeks to clock? The clear otsu letter. So that's just, I'm saying, on the side here, the interesting thing to contemplate. Wherever you go in the world, they have a 7-day week. And in most places, the best of my knowledge, the day of rest is either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Places that haven't been influenced by Christianity or Islam, their day of rest is Saturday. India, Nepal, all these Buddhist, Hindu places, or whatever, the day of rest is on Saturday. Clear otsum. The Muslims moved it to Friday. The Christians moved it to Sunday. Well, actually, a Jew moved it to Sunday. That's an interesting story. We're not going into that now. Of all the rest of the world, it's on Saturday. But why do they have weeks? Where do you get weeks from? Anyway, that's not our subject now, but I just wanted to make the observation once we're talking about how it is that a Kosh Boch who runs and conducts his world according to those Mo'iris. If you can't see the chokhmah and the ability of Hashem in the sun, then you won't ever see it, because it's mind-boggling what that is. We can't grasp it. It's much too big for understand how that all works up there. The energy needs of that is just beyond comprehension. You don't even have words to explain what's going on out there. Moshe Amad Dovid HaMelech, Avala Shalom, HaShemayim Mesaprim Kvot Kel, U'maisi Yodov Magid Harakia. Yes, the whole Mizmo there speaks about this. HaShemayim Mesaprim Kvot Kel. You just look at the sky, and it's awesome. Today we don't even see the sky properly. Today you look outside, you see a few lone stars out there. We live in cities and we don't see the sky so much. Now in the summer in Eretz Yisrael, you go down to places like Mitzpah Ramon, you go into the desert, you see scars there that you then you understand what our ancestors were looking at, what they saw. They saw unbelievable what that is. You take a telescope and you go, then you can see the rings of Saturn, you can see Jupiter's moons in Mitzpah Ramon. There's a model of Orion, and that's nothing. That's like close by. There's stuff coming back from this new telescope, this James Webb telescope that is billions of light years away. It's like mamash unbelievable. The most unbelievable thing is we have the chokhmah to have made that telescope. That for me is the biggest player. Not what they're looking at, but who's doing the looking. A human being has that koiches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that chokhmah to make such a thing. That's even a bigger player. Anyway, So that we see, Vama oid ki eru shamecha maisecha etz posecha yarek v'chuchim asher konanta. So it says, when I look at the your name, I see the work of your finger in the sun and the star, in the moon and the stars. I see that you put it all together. They call me a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's predictable, and you can plan it, and you can live your life according to it. You can know when the sun's going to come up for the next 100 years. You know exactly what time sunrise, sunset is. It's not arbitrary. It's almost completely predictable. V'apela agodol b'yoyse b'bruim agadolim shebor avoy isparach she'ena adam nikeles behem tomid hu ha'shamayim. More than the big stars and the moon and the sun that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, there's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that you see all the time, and that's the Shemayim. Sheba'eza makum she'oymed ha'adam ala aretz, yer es chetzi kipet ha'shamayim. You spoke about this a little bit earlier, that wherever you're standing on the earth, you don't feel like you're standing on your head, you don't feel like you're falling off, you don't feel like you're standing sideways. The earth's a round ball. So how can it be that wherever you stand, you feel you're standing upright? So that's one of the nisim we mentioned earlier. But there's another one here, and that is wherever you're standing, you see the kippat ha'shamayim. You see the, whatever it is, that blue thing there. I don't know what's it called in English. A kippat ha'shamayim. Wherever you are, you see half the kippat ha'shamayim, no matter where you're standing. Hasovev says kadu aretz, that surrounds the entire earth. That's the key. You have to look at the shamayim bitfuna with understanding. Whoever created that has infinite abilities. The wisdom that's involved, the ability, the strength, the koach, it's beyond comprehension. It's too big for us. Our brains go mushy when we start encountering the infinite. You see the ruins of buildings that people created before. You get onto the coastal, you see, you think like, how did they do this, man? You go to the Taj Mahal, you go to some of these places that were built, they're unbelievable edifices in the mountains. You see human genius, human koichas. Before they had machineries and bulldozers and all electronic and all these machineries or whatever, they built unbelievable stuff. You go, wow, that's unbelievable. The guys that built this were really something. And we get completely awestruck by it. That testifies. That testifies to the unbelievable koyach that these people had when they built these buildings, their abilities, their chokhmah. They made buildings that have lasted 1,000 years. If we get awestruck and we pay money to go on Tulim, to go look at it, and the guard shows you around, and everyone's going, oh, wow, Azemal. And you're supposed to be. That is something amazing. But it's a tip of a tipper of what? Val Pu'ula Chasoros Chashiva Zu, She'ene Oile Al Ma'at Al Pulaseinu Anu. So how much do you have to be awestruck and go out of your kalim when you think about the Boira Olam, the Boira Shemayim Va'aretz? He did it without any slaves. Nobody died doing it. Without any tircha, no hassle. The easiest thing in the world for him. Didn't even have to get out of bed to do it. Give a yachol. The law is amtus v'amol. No toil, no amol. Yesh mi'ayin. He didn't have the raw materials and he just banged them together. He had to make the raw materials. No one was forcing him to do it. That's what he decided to do. I'm using human words here because we don't have the right terminology for this. The word of Hashem, and with a bit of air that came out of his mouth, kaviyochol, everything was made. Okay, so we balk from this. We run away from this. It's too big. We, like you said before, we can't talk about it. We can't think about it. It's just too big. But we have to find a way to connect to this. We have to find a way to use this. Not just go, wow, that's amazing, and move on. To somehow raise our levels of avos Hashem, yiras Hashem. Just even just awareness of Hashem. when you use the world this way and you look at what's going on and you just do it like he says, betfuna, then you become a different person. The world looks different then. That's if you aren't already awestruck just by your hand and your toenails and your finger and your heart and your eyes and just blood tests. Yeah, MRIs. Mamish. Okay. As you go deeper and deeper in understanding and looking, investigating the Chochmah of Hashem that we see in the Bria, Timtzo shenoisef l'ma she'abruim me'idim al elokus v'achdus ha'boira. Besides the fact, or added to the fact, that these bruim, everything you see, testify to the godliness and the oneness of Hashem. As we said, if there's a creature, it was created. So that creature testifies. Hashemayim is saprim koid kel. But more than that, ein bem echad shelo nivra b'matara la'avi toeles l'odom. Every single one of them was created to bring a purpose to Adam. U'mitayich kavona la'hitiv lo. And with the intention of doing good for Adam. Now, some things we see, that's partial. You don't have to be a genius. Other things that we were just talking now about stars that are millions of light years away, whatever, we don't see what benefit they give us. The sun, I understand. Without the sun, and there's not much to talk about. Without the sun, or if the sun even would just move a little bit. So we understand the enormous to'elis, the goodness, the chesed we get from the sun. But there's things out there we don't really understand. So we have to understand. We don't understand. Tirasamesim, we'll understand why everything had to be the way it is. But everything, every grain of sand, every leaf on every tree, it was all created to bestow goodness upon us. It all has a matara, which itself is hard to swallow sometimes. That's where imunah kicks in. We have to know. Boreham didn't make unnecessary leaves or unnecessary grains of sand. Everything he made was ultimately for us, bishvili nivra olam. אלה שבחלק מהברואים גולו לעין כל התועלס והטויבה שהם מביאים לאדם, ובחלק מהם אין נירס בהשקוף הראשונה. Like we just said, when you look at some of the things, it's possible the benefit they give you. The food, the wheat, but there's things that we don't see the benefit on first look. Gona over choyshech, light and darkness. I'll manage with just, I don't mind. It doesn't have to be light or dark. It could just be somewhere in between, summer and winter. Just make it fun, be mid-range, nice weather. Who needs that? The b'chelik mem ein hi niris konefreshech. Toilis ha'o muvenis v'niris hi b'chush. Oh, he's going to say the opposite to me. Okay, no, I could live without it, I suppose. That's just because I'm miserable. But I'm saying the light, he says, you see the benefit of it. You understand? And that's not totally hidden from us. Who needs darkness? Darkness looks like a bit of a waste of time. We don't know what this means, by the way. We don't have darkness. We don't have night time. We don't know what that is. People work 24 hours a day today. They live in South Africa and they're trading in Australia. This guy can't get to sleep now because his business is in Hong Kong and the lights are on the whole time. And we don't know what night time is. But when he was talking, night time came. That was it. Everything came to a grinding halt and you were stuck alone at home. Darkness has an enormous, enormous amount of benefits for us, which we don't appreciate, we don't have. There's an interesting study that came out, not so recently, but they found that a large cause of the machala is people being exposed to too much light. The body was created in a way that has to absorb a certain amount of light. We're absorbing much too much light because we don't have darkness. So it messes up the system a little bit. That's what this study from Boston or whatever came to the conclusion. Anyway. So what are the benefits of light? The spiritual benefits are enormous, by the way. The Rambam says, Roiv chokhmasa loimed belayla. Most of what you're ever going to learn, you'll learn at night. Also, the Rambam was talking to people who had night. The interesting sugya, not for now, why spiritually light is a darkness is so important. Nighttime is called das, because you're alone. You're cut off from the world. And now you have to get in touch with yourself. You have to be alone with yourself. That's called das. That's why Rav Chochmosa Loimed Belayda, the Rambam says. Aval Tov, we don't have that too much today. Most of our Chochma we get in the morning. That's why most people try and learn, if they can, they try and learn in the morning, because otherwise it doesn't happen. Okay, so what's this darkness about? If you didn't have darkness, most animals in the world would just like wear themselves out. They would just carry on doing whatever they're doing. They wouldn't know that they have to stop. When it gets dark, they know they've got to stop. Some animals wake up only at night. They sleep the whole day, and then they wake up at night. They go hunting. They do whatever they have to do. But if you didn't have nighttime, most of the animals, he says, would just get extinct. Nighttime gives us days, hours, moments. Because of night, we can work out calculations of time. If you just had one long day, that's all you'd have. You'd have one long day. The day would never end. So how would you demarcate days, hours, chatzos? You wouldn't have any of that stuff. Don't know what he wants here. The length and the shortness of days of Adam. Don't know what that means. You wouldn't be able to do any of the mitzvahs that are tolu bezman. Kagon Shabbosos, Vamodim, Vitzomois, Kriyashma Belayla. When you do Kriya Shema Belayla, when the sun goes down, the sun never goes down, it's light the whole day. When are we going to meet? You don't have demarcations of time. Now, I don't know why that is. I don't know if you don't have night, why your digestive system would work. He throws that in like as a little bit of a spanner there, a wheel, like a span in the wheel. Cash it to daytime or nighttime, you eat and you digest. What happens? Who cares if it's light or dark? I don't know what he means. We'll see now, maybe in the Piskalev will explain us. So we see that's Mod Mod Khashuv. He says here that the idea is a rabbi, it's a tlois bezman, kagon shnei sachama, chodesh halavona, the years of the sun, the months of the moon, mehiros kolechem migal galerkia, the speed of all these things, zmana netir ubishal apeiros gedoyme, when to plant, when to harvest, all these things is because of zman. Without darkness, you wouldn't have zman. You just have one long moment. And yeah, he says, why wouldn't I be able to digest my food? He says, mevesh ike ikula oichul hu belayle ba'esa shenik yedir chokmas harufur. Most digestion of food, he says, takes place at night when you're sleeping. So I'll sleep at night when it's daytime, but you don't have nighttime, you don't have daytime. So when would you sleep? You just get tired, you fall asleep. I don't know how it would work. The lawyer, though, it could look what would be there, but he says that's something that's known to the Chochmas Rufur. They know that's something that they know. I don't know if that's still relevant today. And well, somehow that seems to be a problem that you wouldn't be able to digest. Rav Avigdor Miller speaks about the chesed of sleep. Without sleep, you wouldn't be able to restore. You're going to sleep exhausted, you're tired, you don't even get up the next morning. You sleep for 5-6 hours, get up the next morning, not always feeling refreshed, but you've had a good night's sleep, and now you're ready to face another day. If you didn't have that sleep, you know what you would look like during the day. You know what you look like when you stay up one night. You know what our Shavuos day looks like, often being up the whole night, if you stay up the whole night learning, you know what your day looks like. But you have a good sleep, even 5-6 hours, 4 hours, you're a different person. But the chesed of sleep, it's such a therapeutic thing that without darkness, we wouldn't have that. So that's what he says. Okay, so that's the enormous benefit to Elis and chesed that we have from things that we just take for granted, like nighttime. There's Niflis, eh? I mean, what we just learned now, we went from the heavens, the furthest heavens, the sun, the moon, all the Galgalim of the Shemaim, down to the animals not being able to sleep, and our sleep and our digestive system, it bounces around. It's a Nifla mode. So maybe let's just do one more shtickle. V'achas ha-toivas ha-raboy she'elokim meitiv la'od ha-mi she'matil es emosoy al yeseh ba'alei chayim ha-mazikim. One of the enormous chesodim Hashem does for us, that he puts fear of most of the animals that are dangerous to us upon them, that they fear us. Kmo she'ne'ema, u'ma'arechem v'chitchem yi al kol chayos ha'aretz. Your awe, your fear for you will be on all the animals of the land. Kedei she'atinuk yi mugon michatul v'achba k'yoytzibo. We terrified of mice, but they're much more scared of us. Chatul, a cat, whatever. There are instances sometimes you find that a baby got hurt by an animal, a domestic animal even. But by and large, animals aren't going around eating people and killing people and destroying people because they're terrified of us. It's interesting if I don't know if you ever saw this, a Moedika, your old girl's got a Moedika video, they're interviewing Effie Atom. Could I have to look at her? Effie Atom was the commander of the troops that went into Entebbe, when they released Entebbe, whatever. So after he retired, he went on a fishing trip somewhere, I don't know, in Alaska or whatever. And they told him that if you're fishing there, you're on your own. You're in the middle of the wilderness. Have you seen this video? You know what I'm talking about? Ellie, you know what I'm talking about? No? Okay. So the guard tells him, they fly there on a plane, the plane lands in the water, they leave him there, and they come back at night to fetch him. The guard tells him, listen, if a bear, the only thing you have to worry about is grizzly bears. There are these grizzly bears in the wilderness. Grizzly bears are dangerous creatures. So if a grizzly bear comes at you, you stand your ground, you don't run, you don't shout, you turn around to the bear and you say, hey, bear, this is my place and I want to fish here. And that's all you have to do and you'll be fine. So this guy who's, 14 wars and, went into Entebbe, he's like the chief of the Golanis or whatever. So he bursts out laughing. He says, well, we have a contract with the bears, that they have to give me my space, whatever. The guy says, it worked for everybody else, it'll work for you. So he's standing there fishing and whatever, and he has a rustling in the grass. He turned around, and there's this, massive grizzly bear there. So he said, he froze. He was, melting from fear, terrified. But he remembered, this is what you have to do. There was nowhere to run to. Bears run much faster than people can run. So running's not going to help. You climb up a tree. There weren't any trees, but if you could, bears climb trees. So what are you going to do? So he turns around and says, hey, bear, this is my place, and I'm going to fish here. He says, and the bear stands up on its hind legs. Okay, now it's taller than him. It's this massive thing there, and he says he's plutzing. Okay? And he just keeps saying, hey, bear, this is my place. I want to fish here. And the bear turns around and goes away, and it goes into the water, and it goes catching fish, but it leaves him alone. So when the guy in the airplane comes to fetch him, he says, I won't believe what happened. That is exactly what happened. How does that work? The bear understands English. What's the story? So this guy turns around to him, and he tells him, he says to him, no. He says, human beings are the pinnacle of creation, right? So when you behave like a human, the bear understands that you're not for him. You're not food for him. When you start running and screaming, you behave like an animal, then you're an animal. So now you're fair game. But when you behave like a human being, he knows human beings aren't bear food. He has a pachat for you. And that's how it works. That's what the Chovas of the Bobas is saying here. There's a chesed HaKosh Baruch Hu put on us. I wouldn't try that in the Kruger Park. I was when a lion, I would stay in your car with the door locked when there's a lion. I wouldn't turn around to the lion and say, hey, lion, this is my spot and I'm going to hang out here. I don't know if you want to try that. Then if it works with lions, but it certainly works with grizzly bears in the wilderness. But my guess is it does work like that. If you've been in the park, you've been walking in the park, you go on one of these walks or whatever, you know that the animals are scared of us. I came within 2 meters of a kudu. The thing saw me and it bolted. It was terrified. I was more terrified than he was, but he was terrified. He saw me and he bummish rare. Now, I've never tried that with a cheetah or a leopard or a lion, and I wouldn't. But we know that there are. That's one of the enormous chesodim, the enormous geniuses that we see, that these animals have a pachat for human beings. So don't tell the cockroaches how scared we are of them, though. That's not good for business, but anyway. All right, boys, so sorry about the delay tonight.
No problem.
Mr. Shem will... As things stand now, next week's not Shaykh Bichlal on Monday night and not Tuesday night. It's Bainer's Manim anyway. Maybe we should just stop for at least for next week. If I can cook up another time, I don't know. You guys aren't on holiday in South Africa. Ellie, you're around as well, I suppose. Let's see. Maybe we can try and shoot for Wednesday. I'll be in touch with you guys next week. But Monday night and Tuesday night are for sure not going to work. So it's a chaval, though. Sure, it's a big chaval. I'll be back by 9. I don't know. Let's see what happens. Now, I've got your side for my father. I'd love to give share that night for him. Maybe I can do it from where I am. All right, whatever. In the meantime, say there's no share. We're going to change it. I'll be in touch with you guys as the week unfolds. I'll be in touch with you after the fast.
Very good.
Yeah, Besudas Toivas, fast well. Just go here. Yeshua, a Geula Shleima, Bezrat Hashem.
Amen. Shkoyach, Rabbi.